Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, 2019 Ilona Europa Accent on LA Talk Radio, Monday 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time. So, I have in my studio my really good friends right now, I can say, special about you, my new friend, Hashem. So, I will say to 2019 sneak on us too fast.
It did, yeah.
And you told me, Hashem, that you don't even know that we have 2019 in a way.
That's exactly how I feel. And just you asked me and made me go back in my mind and just think about it. Wow, it's the new year. Almost 1 month passed.
So today, I am officially announcing our new 3 months old, today is first time, segment with Hashem. Hashem, you don't like the word guru.
No.
You like mostly like spiritual guidance. You are coach. You like more this type of
your friend.
But yeah. Still, people need to understand why we need to, or we want to, or we would love to listen to your logic and your point of view of what the world is right now around us and how we fit it in 2019, what we can change about our life, how we can maybe get rid of stuff that still is hanging out from 2018 and makes us not so happy. So little lines. Yeah. It's really so much that I would love to talk to you about. I know that I'm hoping that people remember December because you were with me, I think,
in December
for the first time. I had the pleasure to meet you in time of the big fire in California. So we had this many hours of conversation and I just said, wow, what a brain, what a soul, what a really, really nice gentleman with your own life experiences. And outside of what we'll be talking today, what was really very exciting to me to know that your brain is so technically inclined to deal with numbers and rules and regulations because you're also an IT guy, yes?
I am. It's both a blessing and a curse.
Do you think so? I will only introduce our guest with us because we have Jeff Floro, who I know people, everybody knows Jeff Floro. He has a show all about guitars 2 hours behind my show at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So you know anybody who is anybody in the world of playing guitar. You are like, I don't know if you have even heart. Probably has strings and your heart is like really singing and playing the guitar tunes. And today you are with us because you are also my beautiful friend and
you play
on some of my songs and we know each other so well for 7 years right now. We have friends that we know and
one of the nicest people on the planet, Ilona.
Oh, I love
truly.
You. And vice versa. And you're a little Polish, so makes
That's
me happy
right.
too. And Hashem has, of course, beautiful accent. So I'm very, very proud to announce that you're originally from Pakistan, yes?
Yes, I am Pakistani.
Yes. And you from UK also, many, many years.
Yes, I'm also a British citizen.
And you're an American citizen.
I am, yes.
He has like 3 passports probably. Wow, that's the world is crazy. Oh, I have 2 passports. How many passports do you have? No, time to do Polish passport for you.
I can't.
Okay, you cannot.
If I was Polish and I came here and got one, I can keep it, but the U.S. doesn't let you.
Yeah, if you have mama or grandma, that's all what you need right now to be Polish.
I can actually get one over there? I didn't know.
Here, you can get here. If you have documents, your grand-grandma or grandma or whoever in family was born in Poland or Russia or whatever, you go to Polish embassy here and they give you a very nice few piece of paper. You ask a person who can translate certain documents because probably they will be old. And then you sit in America and government does everything back and forth. Year later.
I have to go look up her paperwork and see.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
My mom was born here, but my grandmother and her brother were, my mom's brother was from Poland.
Yeah, so you have connections. Okay, so 2019, with Jeff, we'll be talking about music, and also we have some good input about life of ghosts or spiritual, well-being of the ghost. And I know I also would love Hashem to give us his opinion about life when we leave this beautiful place, you know, if it exists or not. So, but today our main topic is 2019. We are starting, so we have a segment that every segment will be talking about something else. We want to improve ourselves. Yes, that's our main goal for today. You think?
Why not? Yes.
Okay. So, Hashem, I still feel 2018 on me. I have a lot of not resolved issues. You know, I'm dealing with people that I love and people who still hurt me. So I'm bringing this old baggage of feelings and hopes for the clean start, and somehow I cannot. So what to do?
So, I can speak from my own experience and from my own opinion. And if it relates, if you connect with it, take it. If it doesn't, you know, don't. The reason why it doesn't feel like 2019 to me or a new year, because I decided a few years ago to live one day at a time. Mm-hmm. So every day is a new day for me. And I try to become me, not the new me, not the old me. But
I like
just
that.
Me.
Clean book, clean page. Yeah. It's really like
yeah.
Like,
and I
okay.
And I don't strive to achieve any state or any material thing or any goals in future, or try to go back in the past and dig and punish myself with the thoughts and regrets. But on daily basis, my goal is to be me and live one day at a time. And then whatever flows and aligns with my soul, with my spirit, with the agenda of my soul and spirits, I accept and I surrender to that and I act upon that.
Interesting. I love this moment when you mention you don't want to punish yourself for certain things.
Yeah.
That's interesting because it hurts our souls.
Absolutely.
Over and over, dwelling on stuff that we cannot change. But we all have this. Yes, you, Jeff, too. You know,
we're always hypercritical of ourselves,
yeah.
I think.
And we are carrying these things on, and head is full of thoughts, and I want to clear my head. I really want to have the switch light.
Yes.
How to
do
that.
And for years and years, I punished myself tremendously. That's why I said my mind is such a blessing and such a curse, like everyone else, because I lived in my mind with my thoughts, with my worries, with all that mumbo-jumbo cooking up, planning, creating emotions based on those thoughts. And the only way to beat it is to use your mind to transcend your mind, basically. You cannot turn it off. You cannot turn it on. We would love that.
Yeah.
But it requires a special set of meditative practices, or you can call mindfulness, how to kind of mitigate that situation where you are using your mind, but you're not becoming your mind. So you're not relating to all those thoughts and worries which are cooking up and bothering you. Well, you let it happen in the space and you kind of space yourself out of it.
I love it. Okay, yeah. Okay. So if I have these things that bug me, and everybody has these
yeah.
things that bug us, and we dwell and dwell, and you said that I somehow need to find like another line that separates me from the thoughts that are there, but I need to find the parallel of peace with it.
Yeah. So basically, you have to develop a little understanding that okay, your mind has a certain job to do, and that job is to protect you for your it's for your survival. It's for doing all the math, the calculation, and it has always been work. That's his job. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you accept and understand that, but not relate to it and let it do its job, but space yourself out of it, in another way, you can transcend your thoughts. You find yourself in that space, in that more awareness, in being in where you find a little peace of mind. That's why the peace of mind
yes,
comes.
It's that peace of mind
where you separate yourself from your thoughts.
Okay.
So it's basically a practice of meditation, which we hear on daily basis on our shows, TVs, radios, friends and families.
Do you have any short, tiny idea for something that we can bring to like just find a tiny peace of mind, calm us down? Even when you are in car, even when you are in home, you calm, you are nervous, or you have like just anxiety in you, and you say, what can I do? I don't want to drink. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to sit and watch some silly movie. I don't even want to listen maybe to music. Yeah. I just want to do something to calm, find inner calm. Do you have any pill for that is not pill?
Yeah, it's a practice. Unfortunately, there's no turn off switch. It's a practice. But the more you practice, the better you become at it. And the more easy it is to attain that peace of mind. The practice is a very simple one. It's so simple that we fail to understand, and nobody teaches us this in school.
Okay.
It's just becoming more mindful. And that's what meditation is also. Mm-hmm. Becoming more mindful of yourself, creating more awareness. So first and foremost, do not resist the mumbo-jumbo, the thoughts, the words. Never resist. This is an act of resistance, taking a shot of whiskey, taking a pill. You know, that is an act of resistance. Let it be. Let all that worries, thoughts, anxieties be upon you. Let it be. Don't resist, but become more aware of it, you know, be more mindful of it. And the more you start practicing, the more you start creating that space between your thoughts, worries, your mind, and yourself. And you start see, I am not my thoughts, but I'm having these thoughts, but I am not my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it's a great observation where you see that I am not this. So it means I am something else. So if I'm something else, then I can absolutely separate myself from it. So just not resisting and start becoming more mindful of your thoughts and start understanding the thoughts behind the thoughts and then the sponsoring thoughts which are triggering it.
You're so right.
It will start giving you a greater understanding and a deeper introspection about yourself. Hmm. And the more you start doing it, the more habitually you start creating that space between yourself and your thoughts and not getting associated with it.
There's one thing I want to point out.
Yes.
In our, as musicians, we are hypercritical and we are tough, but that's part of what we do. When you write a song, you are not happy until it's perfect.
Yeah.
So that's right. That's part of our makeup.
Our spiritual leader, what is to be a perfect? Because really, we probably are punishing ourselves in our thoughts, thinking that we are not good enough.
Yeah.
And that's my also, we'll be talking so much.
Yeah,
we'll be having, please, everybody who is watching or seeing my post on Facebook, and just only once a month we'll be having Hasham. Your full name. Could you give us your full name?
Hasham Ahmed Khan.
Okay. And of course, I would love the spelling of that because you have beautiful accent. And again?
Hasham, H-A-S-H-A-A-M, Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D, and Khan, K-H-A-N.
And of course, we'll give some type of links. And I already post how to get in touch with Hasham on my accent on. And so we'll be having February and March one more two meetings once a month. And we'll be picking up topics and we'll be running around the topics because this, you know, you can speak to Hasham for hours. And I'm hoping that people just believe that we are in living room or somewhere. We just are not preparing for conversations. That's, I just cannot even think this way. Oh, well, today we'll be talking about that. No, life is not about that. It's like your thoughts, you know, like you're talking about thoughts. They are, we need to let them be. So if something pops up in our heads, Jeff and mine, I will be, of course, asking you, so sorry if I go left and right from our real topic, how to improve ourselves in 2019 and not being fearful of starting something new. That's our also main topic. So it's in your hands to just narrow me down, to make my be there, but you really bring me back to this topic. Could we develop a little bit topic 2019, what we can change? Do we need to be scared of starting something new? And why we are afraid to start something new?
Yeah, so we are in a constant state of fear. Because again, our mind, our thought, in perpetuality creates those thoughts of fears for our survival. So scientifically speaking, it is a tool to protect you. And it's kind of its protection mechanism to create that fear. So you don't put your hand in the fire and burn yourself. So you're afraid of fire. So that start having those intellectual deeper understanding how the mind works is very helpful. But also not getting associated with the mind. So mindfulness is the first gateway to detach from those thoughts and to open yourself to a new endeavor, to a change. But basically what I tell everybody, including myself, is there's nothing to change. There's nothing to become new. You just have to become you, basically. You just have to transcend your fears.
Wow, okay.
And just become the authentic real you.
Oh my gosh. Don't run through it. This is so cool because this is like self-discovery. So it's really, we're not supposed to look for something new.
Yeah, because there's so much to look. I mean, you will never catch up. You can keep looking, and you can make billions of dollars and you're still looking. You will never, ever catch up. We are too minute in the cosmic scale. As human beings, we're too minute. So it is what to accept and surrender to and just live in that moment and just enjoy and have that peace of mind.
But if people have crazy goals that like today, they set up the goals, we're all trying to say in 2019, I will achieve something, okay? And we are fearful. In the beginning, we are setting in our mind that it can happen. I will do this. I will buy this. I will learn this. I will study that, then I will make this happen. And like March is happening, starting, and we all understand it's not so easy. So the beginning of making decision to change something in life is the fear. We all have fear. Then probably we give in with trying harder to make something that makes us happy but not makes us new, because I understand I cannot be new. I am who I am.
Yes, you cannot be new. You are actually new and improved
every
and perfect.
Every day, I am new me anyway.
Yes, you are new. You're perfect. You are complete in all the senses. It's just the construction of your mind and your thoughts. It tells you you have to strive to achieve something, to become better, and to be accepted, or you're not worthy of it. But primarily, we are all creative beings, and we will always be engaged in any creative action or form, whether it's music, radio, software designing,
poems, like
everything.
Writing,
this is built into our nature as Homo sapiens, that we will be engaged in any creative art or form. The mind and the ego has generated this competition amongst the species.
Mind and ego. I don't know if I ever heard these two things together with the fight for what is more important.
Well, not all your mind is ego. Mind is actually a beautiful thing, but all ego is mind. That's what I said. There's a piece of mind where you can also find your peace.
Okay.
Yeah, and your ego is also your mind. It's all about how you manage your ego. Ego is a very important thing for your survival, for creativity, for day-to-day management.
So it's not bad to be a little egomaniac?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
everybody says you need to be down. No, I think we need to.
You have to have
as a performer, you have to have an ego.
Yes, absolutely.
To go out on that stage and
present.
Yeah.
Present something new.
Yeah, ego running amok is you can say a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing when it's out of control.
Okay, when it's out of control.
Yeah,
okay.
Ego is a beautiful thing, and that's what makes us so creative and special with our individuality. That's what defines us as a musician.
Could we develop the ego, the positive ego?
Yes.
You think?
Yeah,
in children, in youth.
Yeah, it can be developed. Again, unfortunately, our education system, our socioeconomic systems don't promote that kind of education. I mean, I never grew up somebody teaching me how to be happy.
Mindfulness or happy.
Just some simple thing, how to be happy. Forget mindfulness, forget meditation, forget egos. A very simple construct of happiness. Nobody, our schools taught us how to be happy.
Do you have understanding the way that you can give it to us? What do you think happiness is?
Happiness is a state.
It's, peace of mind?
It's just a state. It's just a state. It's the greatest joy of your life when you are authentic, real you. And you will feel that deep, deep state of happiness. You cannot feel happiness all the time. You can be have utter moments of happiness. But in order to have happiness, you also have to feel despair. Otherwise, you won't be able to relate to happiness.
So you need to understand the parts that are maybe more negative. So then when they are positive, you see the difference?
And yeah, you need to, absolutely. Like,
do you really need to focus on that? Because what I also found out in my life, when bad things happen, I'm dwelling on them. When good things happen, oh, cool. Oh, and, you know, it's like I don't take a time to dwell on happy.
Yes.
I have a time to dwell on sad. I'm learning. That's my story, 2019. And I'm just really loving that we talk about this. I think it's a good advice for people to just, when something good happens,
cherish it.
Cherish for longer.
Absolutely.
And don't come back to the bad things, because that's what moves us forward and makes us.
And again, because we don't live in isolation. We're part of a society where we interact with each other and we get conditioned. So even if you want to cherish your happiness, the outside circumstances, people sometimes prevent us. So their energies prevent us from taking our time to cherish. So it's important to take your space and time and cherish your moments. There's nothing wrong.
You're so right. Yeah. Because again, I hope people focus again on what you are saying. Yes, sometimes we are worrying to be too happy because we are worried that somebody who watches us or is with us is not so happy for us that good things happen to us. So we are trying to almost like hide our happiness somewhere. So I don't tell, I don't wanna, you know. And then if you're alone, it's very hard to be happy by myself. You know, you think you need to share with the world. But you are so right. Very nice things happened today to me. I waited for so long for this day. This day today happened. You know, one letter can really change something in your life. I know this letter really did, very much so. But I was thinking, who do I want to share this news with? I had only one person outside of my daughter. I don't even know who to say. Ah, I tell you. I tell you, of course, but I love you. And I will tell you after show. So I have a lot of friends, but I don't know if I am, how happy I'm supposed to be.
And this is a very, I mean, so we all want to share our happiness also, just like souls. But we never take time or do that deep introspection. Why do we have a need to share happiness?
Yes, why?
That's in my opinion, that's the divinity in us. Because we are this species with a divine presence, whether you believe in God or not. But we have this divine presence who wants to spread and share love and beauty with our fellow human beings as part of this oneness.
Yeah. You wanted to share it.
Yes,
I
do.
That good feeling.
I do. Yeah. But I also, like, I'm scared that somebody will maybe come back with wrong mojo and say, okay, but I'm happy for you, but really they're not. So, and because, you know, we recognize people also how they act towards somebody else. Good luck. They turn back on you too sometimes.
Let
you
me quickly
know.
Quickly interject with this point. And so these are two states where you can say your soul or that divinity inside you wants to spread happiness and share. Basically a divine instinct in you. But the mind is afraid.
Yes.
And your ego is afraid and worries that you are setting yourself up for some kind of a failure. It will bite back. Yes. So there's always this tussle between mind and your heart or your ego. Between your ego and your soul. And when they are in harmony, when they start talking to each other in harmony, that's when you are the real authentic you. And I mean, I can talk a lot more about it. And
you know, I really think next time I'm giving you a whole hour because the segment, I love this type of conversation. So you are my favorite anyway guest when it comes to this topic because you, if you have time, you really don't feel like you need to rush or just, oh, I cannot ask you for that because we need to stay on a topic. No, I don't want to stay on topic. I want to talk. I want to have conversation. So before the show started, we were talking about near-death experience. And I knew, and we will talk maybe next month, about what's happened that you turn your day or your future into become the spiritual guidance for people or coach or just friend, whatever you call this. And you left it a little bit on the side, the businessman, who of course you're doing business your way too, but really you are focusing on reinventing yourself and find all this question, all these answers that we want from you. So this is like you are creating really, you are coaching people how to get
better. Supporting people, yeah.
So, but I didn't know that you really had this experience, which of course Jeff Floro is working with. You can a little give pitch for Rebecca's show. She has a show.
I do a show with Rebecca Fearing, a psychic medium, and she it's called Dancing with Ghosts, and it's in the video channel on Wednesdays at 7 to 9.
So anybody who'd like to find out more about the show and from Jeff. So Jeff, all this year, and you believe in mom's presence in your home, in her home, but you are living there all the time. So you mentioned also, Hashem, that you had close experience with that. So you don't believe in a ghost, but you think or you don't say it ghost, you say
the spirits. The souls or the spirits.
What's happened?
Well, in 2010, I was in a coma for a reason. We can talk in our next segment because it's a very difficult and touchy subject. And not for me, I'm very open about it, but I was in a coma for a few days, 7 days, dying, and the doctors had given up on me. And in that state, while I was in a pure form of happiness and joy, I experienced this near-death situation where, first and foremost, my whole life flashed in front of my eyes. Like a life review. I've always heard about it growing up, like pretty much all of us, but it was very interesting to experience it. And words cannot do justice how to describe or define or explain, but in a nutshell, the whole that flash of life just in front of my eyes in a blink of a second, which scientifically seems almost impossible. And then, while I was in a coma, I started, or I should say me, my soul, my spirit, started raising out of my body and started floating towards the ceiling. And I vividly remember looking back at my body and in a state of amusement, you know, like, is this me or is that me? And I had a very clear understanding, no, this is me who's thinking, who's perceiving without sensory organs, but that is my body in that bed in the hospital, in a state of coma, dying. And I rose and rose, rose in the air towards the skies, or in a very blissful, in a very peaceful way, where I can say it was just utter happiness and a state of joy. Tranquility is probably the best word, but constant. You know, there was no fluctuation of happiness or joy or good or bad or right or wrong. It was a constant state of tranquility.
This is not the best present that we can give to listeners and people who watch us, to knowing and believing that this moment when comes maybe is not so scary, that maybe we are living what is the worst of us, means body, but the bestest of us will really go up somewhere, and maybe we'll take the most beautiful things that we can offer, and we'll be there somewhere, and we'll surround and come back to the places or protect people that we love. And maybe did you have any memory of your father, because you lost father also?
Well, in that experience, it's such a beautiful experience that, first of all, you cannot forget it, but also you cannot explain it. I mean, it's so beautiful that I don't think our language does us justice to explain it fully.
This is Rebecca, who is, you know, she's expert talking about these things.
What she does is she hears people on the other side.
So she re-communicated. He communicated with his own self.
Well, he left his body. He died and left his body. That's what he's talking about in near-death experiences is that's what happens. And he saw his body and that blissful part. And then I'm sure this is what a lot of people don't understand is that at a certain point in time, you made a decision to come back.
Yeah, so I'm
you
trying
were
to...
Shown,
oh,
yes,
wow.
He was
okay.
actually had
Absolutely.
A choice.
Okay, just
yeah.
let's talk
so I'm,
about
I'm
this journey.
I'm trying to compress this all in a very... In
I'll
a,
be
in
talking
a
very, again, very much.
But absolutely, I experienced all these energies and spirits and souls around me while I was going up. And as I mentioned, that utter state of constant tranquility and peace and love, no fluctuation. And I am rising all the way to this bright light where I had a communication, a dialogue, an interaction with a voiceless voice. Now, I call it God or universe mm-hmm. or divinity, whatever. But I had this interaction where I was told that this is not your time. You're only 30 years old. You should go back. But the choice is yours. And I said...
That's the key part.
Yeah, but I was... I absolutely just loved there. I felt belonged in that space, in that energy, in that love, in that
So
activity.
Why some people come back and some people decide to stay and not go back to Earth?
I absolutely wanted to stay, and this energy God was trying to convince me, but also gave me the autonomy of my choice. And long story short, I mean, I was convinced... with my autonomy of choice, once the voice told me, don't you want to share this love with your fellow mm-hmm. human beings, with your family? And that made me, that convinced me, okay, I really have to make the choice to go back and share this love.
Beautiful.
So
we're here to learn things and to do things.
Yeah.
So the usual, yes, and you have free will for the choice. And so when you decide to come back, it's because you haven't finished what you were
rigid. You're supposed to do.
Yeah,
on this
I mean, planet. And this happened in 2010, and it took me years to understand it. I mean,
Were you scared to go back to rethink this time and remember over and over? Do you like to go back to what's happened to you?
I would love to go back. I mean, to be honest with you, it's such a beautiful experience that it's actually a scary thing to say, and many people cannot understand maybe. Reprimand me for saying, but I love death. I mean, once you experience that, the only way I can describe it, I love death. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing, actually. So when my time comes next time, I'll be gladly, readily accepted. I'll accept it and go.
Tell me if you agree with this, because a lot of near-death experiences say this. Over there is the reality. This is the fantasy.
Yes, wow. In my experience, mm-hmm. This is a theater, an act where we are, or a game where we are supposed to play this character or write our own story and act on the stage, while that realm is more constant, utter love, happiness, joy, tranquility. That is absolutely, it felt in my experience more real than this.
So we are carrying energy above, and the energy will exist. The best of what we have in us when leaves body is floating somewhere in the universe, and in a way our job may be is done on the earth, but do you think we have something to do there?
Well,
more?
We are complete. As I said, we are complete in our spiritual energetic form, and we are here in this realm, in this stage, in this film, in this game, to play the characters of Hasham, Ilona, and yourself, and to experience and to fulfill the agenda of our soul, which is to experientially know ourselves rather than just conceptually know, because this is where we have the concept of duality.
Mm.
And with that concept of duality, we can and relativity, we can create the experience people like to experience.
So the natural question would be, there was 2010, it took you, of course it's 2019 right now, 9 years later. I know that in the meantime you were very successful, you know, in your business, what you were doing outside of your thoughts and trying to understand and find the happiness and find the peace of mind, because your moment between 2010 and maybe early was also turbulent. You had not easy life. You had a lot of things that happened in your life. So where was the switch that now you think you are ready to open practically every experience that you had, and you believe that you are sure of what you can tell people? And because you don't want to lead people, you really want them to find their own answers. You just want to discuss and talk and maybe make a bigger picture for them to think deeper.
Absolutely. That's very important. That's why I don't portray myself as any teacher, guru, or mentor, or coach even. You know, I say I'm your support, I'm your friend, and I explicitly say I have these opinions based on my experience. I'm very confident about my experiences because they are mine. I know them.
He's a good teacher. We are coming back to still to, if teacher is good teacher because he knows what he's talking about and lived through what he was learning. So you are a teacher. You are tiny, our guru. You are a coach, and we will still call you our spiritual guru or coach, whatever you want. But I know you have your own motto. You have your own way describing and your own line.
So I tend to be a little more provocative, you know, empower them and shake them so they make the choices. Because one thing is for sure, that we are autonomous beings who have a choice, you know. So everything I'm doing, even me coming back from that realm, is a choice. And me sitting here is also a choice. So we absolutely have the choice, and I don't want to take away the choices from anyone. In fact, I want to empower them and tell them, you have to make a choice, but with clarity. What's missing is clarity.
Okay, and that's the also, because we have a topic today, not being fearful of the clarity also, and taking something new, and you decide you want to do something, so do it. Don't run away. You just take a chance on that.
Yeah. Not fear something if you don't love the opposite of it. So, for example, you fear death because you love life so much.
Yeah.
So, understanding fear is very important for clarity. And sometimes we don't find the courage to combat fear because we don't have clarity, and we just take a leap of faith. And with that leap of faith, we develop courage. So it's a process happening on daily basis. Sometimes we find clarity and courage and combat and beat our fears. And sometimes we just jump off the cliff, and then we find, oh, we landed safe and sound. So it's all okay. Let's go to the next cliff and jump again.
So it will be all okay. 2019 will be just all okay. And when we also take something from Hashan's logic and his own experience, we also find out that don't be afraid to love somebody, because when you love somebody, maybe you'll be having less fear of opening up and your heart to new situations.
Sorry to interrupt. That's the biggest fear.
The other thing to point out too, and tell me if this rings true from your experiences, is ultimately everything is a positive thing. We might experience something in this moment right here that seems bad and traumatic, like the loss of loved ones or something like that. But in the big picture, it's a positive thing. Like my friend that passed away, she had several near-death experiences, and I was commenting one time, all these people were dying around after my father had died. And she said, what that means is change. It's changed. It's these people are leaving, new people are coming into your life, and new people are coming into the world, and that's part of our process here. So looking at it years later, it wasn't a negative thing. Ultimately, certain things that happened to me, there was a reason for it, and it pointed me in the right direction in my life. So I don't know. Ultimately, everything is a positive thing. Absolutely. You're learning. Yeah. You have things, and we make mistakes. That's how we learn. That's a positive thing.
Positive.
Yeah, the sad part is nobody taught us in school, in our education system, nobody educated us about this, because every experience is a good experience. Even the bad, the worst experience is actually an opportunity for you to know the opposite of it, because you cannot experience happiness unless you understand despair. You cannot know happiness unless you have experienced sadness. If you're in an utter state of happiness, you will forget about happiness. You will, wow. Yeah. So every experience in that sense is an opportunity to experience the opposite of it. So say yes to that opportunity. It's hard. The mind, our society, our peers, the energies around us, again, take us a step back. But that's where mindfulness comes in, that there's always a learning and growth, because every experience is either a positive experience or it is an opportunity for you to become the greatest version of the grandest version you've ever held about yourself. And more importantly, you cannot experience ultimate happiness if you have not touched the rock bottoms of ultimate despair. Wow. So if a person says, I want to be in a state of bliss, that's perfect. But if you have not experienced despair, you will not know what ultimate bliss is.
Wow, yeah. Beautiful.
It's impossible, yeah.
No, I really hope people who watches us and listen to us enjoy our new segment, because we don't have time in our lifetime here to just sit and a little bit think about something that scares us, something that we maybe would like to learn more, but we don't have people who can talk to us this way. And it's not easy, like, find, go to library seat and just develop your love for this topic. So if somebody can set in our mind that this is really something beautiful, we just cannot be afraid. We don't need to be fearful in a way. But if we are, it's also something opposite of love. And then everything, that we are perfect enough, really. So we don't need to reinvent ourselves as a new person, because we are new every day anyway. We are open book. And this Monday is the bestest Monday of my life.
And if not, then it's okay.
That's okay too.
Yeah.
Okay. Today there was a good day for me. So thank you for right now. But you please Hashan, be part of our little tiny discussion about music, because my friend played on my song. So we need to start for a little bit, because Jeff, you gave me the really nice sounds of lots of guitars. And we sent it to Dan Solovitz, who is my producer, so many different takes, but he picked what he wanted for the song. But obviously you work much harder by giving Dan lots of options to include in the song that is called Dance and Pray. So people heard maybe, but I will play a little bit and then you will talk to us about the song.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. This song is really, really wonderful because of so many wonderful guitar sounds that you added. And I wanted so much to sounding like 90s, 70s and 80s. I wanted this flair of rock, but from the past. And I had the pleasure to also include another friend of mine, Michelle, Tyler from Belladonna. She gave me beautiful feel of haunted voices, and she has beautiful voice. So I was surrounded by friends, and the song I wrote a few years ago, you know, and you brought this song to life. Thank you.
It was interesting hearing, because I've heard so many different mixes of this, and what I had originally done, she said, give me more. And as a session player, I tend to just give you more parts. You have choices. Yes. So there's two acoustic guitars, two 12-string guitars. There's an electric guitar, then there's the lead. And it was interesting because he actually used all of them at certain points.
Geniusly. He just picked the bestest moment of the song and just found the sound that suits the producer. But
I was ready to dance.
Already? That's the
best part. It has a good beat.
I was ready to dance.
Thank you so much. But
I loved it.
Thank you, Hashem. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Wait till you hear the new one.
We are working on a new song. And yes, I cannot wait. It's a long wait. It was a long wait for your guitars. Now a long wait for arrangement to come to me. Then I need to go to studio. Then we need to go to production. This takes so much time. And then we need to bring our friend on the bass. Yes.
Prescott Nelson, the Knack, is going to play bass on it.
Oh, my gosh. So, again, it's a friendship, it's good vibe. Because my friends are working with me on songs that I'm picking and choosing. Not every song that I write, I record. But I'm so proud to have you on both of my songs. So, you almost 12 guitars.
What do you mean? On that
song? How many guitars? Because it seems like you were saying two. I was counting.
Two 6-strings, two 12-strings. The electric guitar, I did two tracks of that. And I think one of them, I processed it. So he gave him the effect with the echo if he wanted it, or he could do it himself. So that was basically, it was about eight Amazing. Tracks of stuff.
So why guitars, Jeff? I know you also are USC graduate a few years ago.
Actually, I graduated in studio guitar. I should be guitar.
Yes. But... So why guitar? Why not violin? Why not cello?
Well, no, I play eight instruments.
Oh, come on. I thought, okay, what instruments you are playing?
Well, I start an accordion.
Are you playing accordion?
I don't play it as much as I used to, but I used to do the polkas.
I love it.
I was a polka person.
Okay, accordion, next.
So, and then the guitar, bass, piano, banjo, mandolin. Let's see if I remember all of this stuff. And I've played all sorts of percussion. I play percussion, and I've played other instruments. Like, I've done some harp parts and stuff, but I'm not really, I know how to write for it. But I can play some things.
Wonderful.
And I played marimbas. I played, just depending on the session.
But really, you focused on the guitars because your show is very, very well known here and loved by so many. You really have the bestest guests ever when it comes to guitar world players.
There's a lot of great guitar players out there, and there's a lot of...
But get them to your show seems like it's easy for you. Even people coming
now,
from
it wasn't easy at the beginning, but the now beginning. It's same, but now they know what the show's about. The word of mouth is spread.
It's beautiful. I can understand the same with me. In the beginning, it was harder to get guests. Right now, we are booking our guests ahead, so it's amazing. It's no more headache. It's lovely, and you pick and choose. You know, that's even the coolest things ever. So, 7 years the show or 10? How long? How many?
No, I've done Rebecca's show for 10 years, and then All About Guitar is almost 3 years. But I had done the flow guitar with Scott Sill.
Yes.
And that was about 2.5 years.
Gosh. You're
and old. I actually did another show called Night Vision Radio for about 4 years. And that was all about paranormal and stuff. And then so
you are really perfect guest co-host with us for the segment of Hashem segment. Because you really love and breathe this topic. You really are surrounded by people who deeply want to understand what will happen.
The paranormal stuff is important. And it was something interesting you said when you had you saw God or that energy.
The light, yeah.
There was a guy that, this is documented, there was a guy that died in Siberia. He was dead for like 3 days. And it was so cold up there, they put him in a room and basically kept his body preserved it for like 3 days, and it was so freezing. He was born an atheist. He didn't believe in anything, absolutely nothing, and he saw the love, the being, or the energy, or whatever it was. He saw that, and it changed his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, I was the biggest skeptic all my life growing up. I was very intellectually scientific oriented personality, but this experience of mine opened me up and completely transformed my belief system also. So it has that powerful effect on you because you cannot negate it. You experienced it and were there. In fact, you were there more than you are here right now. And unfortunately, I've tried to write about it. I just cannot find the flow, the words, mm-hmm. how to describe it. It's something which can be only experienced in its truest essence, but cannot be really told or explained.
Yeah, it's very hard to say taste of something when you don't taste, because also you don't want to put in people's mind completely the picture that this is it, because you really don't know it was bigger than you. So
absolutely, yeah.
If somebody wants to find you and talk to you or just develop some type of conversation about their needs from your guidance, how we can find you?
So I am working on my website. As a lot of friends suggested, I should put myself out there.
Yes.
So the website is in the works. But in the meantime, I can be reached on Facebook or Instagram, or my email address, or even my phone number.
Which I gave no phone number, but I gave everything, even your email, personal email.
Yeah.
I just left at this. Because we will see you February. We'll pick what will be great if you know, but you probably don't know which one, because I want people to be ready and announce in advance that we have another topic with you. We'll do 1 hour. You know, I just love it. If I let somebody come, I will do for a few minutes, only if they want to be additional plus to our discussion. So, which you were, I am loving that you are a believer, that you said that your mama, even when mother passed away 1 year ago, you think her presence in is there.
My dad's house, my grandmother is there all the time. She watches the place. She takes, you know, she watches out for me. My mom does. Everybody, one of the things I've learned with doing shows like with Rebecca, we're all got that sensitivity. We all have the gift. We just have to learn to listen to it. A lot of it is just shut up inside and hear it and hear what's going on. Your intuition, your gut, and especially as a performer, when you're in there and you're writing a song or you're working on arrangement, you know in your gut that's the right take,
yes.
That's the wrong take.
Yes, yes.
That's that intuition. And secondly, as a mother, how many times, you know, okay, I'm worried about my child. There's something going. That's all part of that psychic ability that you have.
That's the
and we all have it. You just have to learn how to use it. And it's a tool to help you go through this path of life. And one thing you said that was, to me, was very significant, and again, with near-death experiencers talking with them before, is living in the now. You can't control what's going to happen, you know, for the most part. I mean, you make decisions that affect your life. You can't control it. The past is done in the now, in loving in the now. So if you're coming from a loving place and you're living in the moment, that's it.
They ask us to finish the show, but yes, last line and we are done for
today. That's the greatest joy you will start experiencing in your life, being more present with awareness in the now, where you do not have a need to control or make decisions or get associated with the mumbo jumbo in your mind. So
no mumbo jumbo.
The inner voice can only be heard as when you transcend your minds and thoughts, and then the voice, the intuition, the soul is there, and we ought to listen to our hearts more and more. I think we have to. Yes.
We have to.
Yes,
and we have to tune in when Hashem will be next month to his segment. I promise I will announce in advance when I find out what Monday in his calendar is open for Accent On, and we'll really be happy to have you for a whole hour. Thank you so much for today. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.